Session 5, Righteousness by Faith. Today we're thinking about an idea that is absolutely central both to understanding the Christian faith and also to living the Christian life. That idea is righteousness, or being righteous. So what is righteousness and why is it so important? In the Bible, God is described as being perfectly righteous. It means that there's nothing wonky or wrong or impure about him. Righteousness, if you like, is perfect goodness. And of course, that makes us people unrighteous. Naturally, we are wonky, wrong, and impure. We turn away from God. We don't live up to his righteousness. I guess we know what it's like to screw up and jeopardize a relationship in the process. Well, that's what we've done with God. And so instead of enjoying his friendship, naturally, we are under his judgment. The only way to be restored again to this friendship with God is if we ourselves can become righteous. If God can look at us and say, yes, there is nothing wonky or wrong or impure about your life. Welcome back. We love that feeling of being accepted, don't we? When we pass a test, we get the job, we're given a hug, we're welcomed into the gang. And there is nothing more wonderful than being accepted by God. It's a welcome that ushers us into an amazing relationship now and eternal life in the future. And so the central question of the Christian faith is this: How can I become righteous? How can I go from being unrighteous and not accepted to being righteous and accepted? And the passage we're looking at in Philippians today and the Bible as a whole give us two very different approaches. Have a look down at Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Being found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I wonder if you picked up the two approaches there. First, a righteousness of my own. Secondly, a righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. We'll look at each of these in turn. The first approach then is what I've called the DIY approach. There's something wonderfully satisfying about DIY. You head off to down the M4 to the Reading IKEA and you come back with flat pack in the boot and you have a happy afternoon kind of hammering away. And if you're anything like me, you get everyone you can to come up and you say, look at that wardrobe. I did it myself. Made it with these hands of mine. Now, to everyone else, it just looks like a normal, if slightly skew-width, piece of furniture. But you know how long it took, how many times you hammered the wrong bits in place and then had to spend half an hour undoing it all. And you look at it and you think, that is something I have done. And that's just flat pack. I mean, if you manage genuine DIY, well, the sense of personal achievement is almost uncontainable. Well, here, Paul exposes a DIY approach to becoming righteous. And the heart of it is this: righteousness is something I do myself. That's what it says in verse 9, a righteousness of my own. So what does this approach to getting righteousness look like? Well, it's all down to you. Have a look at Philippians 3, verses 1 to 2. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it's a safeguard to you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. Paul here introduces us to a group of Jewish teachers. These teachers have been visiting non-Jewish churches, and they've had a very simple message. If you want to get righteous, if you want to be accepted by God, you've got to get circumcised and obey the law. That's why Paul calls them mutilators of the flesh. Now, circumcision was given in the Old Testament by God himself. It was a good thing. It was intended as a visible marker of belonging to God's people. But it was only ever meant to be temporary. After Jesus, the sign of belonging to God's people changed, no longer circumcision, but trusting in Jesus and being given the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul says in verse 3. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh. These teachers had turned a temporary sign into a permanent entry requirement. They said, look, if you want to become righteous, you've got to get circumcision. You've got to obey the law. In other words, getting right with God had become something that we have to do. Well, that was Paul's day. It was a very Jewish flavour of DIY religion. What about for us? Well, we might not include circumcision on the list, but have you ever heard this idea? If I live a good enough life, God will accept me. And we end up thinking the way to become righteous and to be accepted by God is living a moral life, avoiding sin, helping others, perhaps religious things like going to church or saying your prayers. And, you know, if I just do enough of those things, God will accept me. But whatever it might look like, at the end of the day, getting righteous is down to us and the things that I do. Like my wardrobe, I can say of my righteousness, this is something my hands have made. I've done it myself. That's what it looks like. Second, why it doesn't work. It doesn't work because we don't measure up. Let me read these verses from Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah has a vision of God, and he says this, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, and they were calling to each other, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the sound of their voices and the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. You see the basic points here? God is much holier than we realize, and we are much more sinful than we realize. You know, sometimes you go on holiday and perhaps you're down by the beach and there's a little island a little way off, and you think, you know, I can probably swim out to that island. I'm a pretty good swimmer. I can do it. And so off you go. And then after about 10 minutes, if it's me, I normally realise that the island is perhaps not as close as I thought. And in fact, it looks further away now than when I'd started. And not only so, I begin to realise I'm not such a good swimmer as I'd imagined and normally manage to turn around and just about splutter back to the shore again. Well, we very easily make the same mistake with righteousness. We forget just how perfect God's righteousness is. That's what Isaiah saw in his vision. And we forget that we are much less righteous than we thought we were. That even when our actions are okay, our hearts are still full of all kinds of evil thoughts and desires. Again, as soon as Isaiah had his vision, he knew that he wasn't fit to be in God's presence. And that's the ultimate problem with the DIY approach. If it's down to us, righteousness is out of all of our grasp. No matter how good we might look, no matter how good we might feel ourselves to be, none of us measure up. Finally, let's think about the effects that the DIY approach has on a person's life. First effect is despair. You see, if it's all down to us, eventually we'll think, I'm never going to be good enough. And we can end up feeling burdens of guilt when we get things wrong. Perhaps we might even give up altogether. We'll think, I've blown it. There's no way back. But alongside despair, there can also be pride. You see, we can think from time to time, actually, I'm doing a pretty good job. At least I'm doing better than them. You know, God owes it to me to accept me after all I've been doing for him. It can also lead to uncertainty. Even if we think we're doing well, You see, there's no way of knowing that you've hit the standard if it all depends on you. And finally, it leads, of course, to self-centeredness, as we end up focusing on ourselves and our performance, whether that's in a despairing way, thinking I've not done enough, or in a proud way, thinking I'm doing really well. In both cases, it's all about what I have done. And so we shut out other people and life revolves around us. Well, if you've noticed some of these things in your own life, I wonder, could it be because you're still operating on the DIY approach to getting right with God, thinking it's all down to you to get righteous? Well, that takes us to the second approach, and that is the faith in Christ approach. Have a look again at Philippians 3 verse 9. Being found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. To see this in a little more detail, we're going to turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to 26. So first then, what does the faith in Christ approach look like? Well, it's all about Jesus. Instead of being about what I do to get righteous, the wonderful news is that Jesus has done everything that's needed for us. And that means it's not all about me and what I've done, it's all about Jesus and what he has done. And see that as I read Romans 3 verse 21 to 24. But now, a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. You see, it's simple. All of us have sinned and fall short of God's perfect standards. But we can't get righteousness by ourselves. But now, through Jesus, there is a righteousness available, not from ourselves, but from God. Well, how does it work? It's spelled out in verse 24. We are justified, that just means made righteous, freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And verse 25 tells us how Jesus has done that. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. You see, on the cross, as Jesus shed his blood, Jesus took our deserved judgment for us. That's what a sacrifice of atonement is. And so on the cross, there was this amazing swap. Jesus gets the credit for everything in my life that is wonky and wrong and impure. I get the credit for his perfectly righteous life. You see, the DIY approach was always doomed for failure. God is too holy. We are too sinful. But on the cross, Jesus has made a way for us to be given righteousness for free. And so how can we make sure we benefit from this? How does it work? Well, I simply trust what Jesus has done. Verse 25, God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. That's what that word faith means, trust. You see, faith is not some inner feeling that we have to kind of summon up. Having faith in Jesus simply means putting our confidence fully in him to be made righteous. It means no longer putting confidence in our own efforts. Faith is gratefully accepting God's gift of free righteousness through Jesus. And when we do that, it is the most wonderful thing. As we begin to realize there is nothing else I need to do. Jesus has done it all. I don't need to add to it in any way at all. Now, when we experience this amazing acceptance of God as we're made righteous, well, of course, there are a whole load of things that we want to start doing, like reading our Bibles and coming to church and living like Jesus. But none of these things make us righteous with God. Only Jesus can do that. And so just as we finish then, here are some of the effects of being made righteous through Jesus and faith in him. First of all, it can give us amazing joy. Back in Philippians 3, Paul begins that passage saying, "Rejoice in the Lord." Instead of despairing over whether I've done enough, I can rejoice that no matter how well I feel I'm doing, because of Jesus, God sees me as completely righteous. It means I can have confidence too. Not in my own abilities or performance, but confidence that God accepts me because of Jesus. I don't need to keep trying to prove myself anymore. And when I screw up, I don't need to have a crisis as to whether God accepts me, because God's acceptance and love is not based at all on my performance. It leads also to humility, as I realise it's not down to me. I've done nothing to deserve my standing with God. I'm no better than anyone else. And finally, of course, it leads to Jesus-centeredness. Instead of thinking about how I'm doing in the Christian life, I think much more about Jesus and about all that he has done for me. And all of this is why, as Paul puts it in Philippians 3, there is nothing better in all the world than knowing Jesus.